Today's podcast is brought to you by Dell Expert Network. Dell Expert members receive a dedicated account manager. This is a personal one-on-one partnership dedicated to helping you grow your business. All account managers are extensively trained on a variety of Dell products. Your dedicated account manager, who is backed by a team of both subject matter and technical experts, will help you identify, plan, and execute projects for your clients. Together, your Dell Expert Network team will help you find the right solutions for your clients as well as flesh out larger opportunities. Join Dell Expert Network now at www.dell.com/expert network to partner with your dedicated account manager.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
If you were ever wondering, is there a benefit to being a small MSP? How come I'm not a big MSP? That's a lot of smaller MSPs dream about, right? What do small MSPs think about when they go to bed? They think about being a bigger, more mature MSP, right? Like everybody else does. Well, I am not making an argument to stay small, right? I still believe that you have to be maturing, you have to be growing as an organization, or you're retrenching. You're getting smaller. That's a business concept and a philosophy that I think is true even in the managed services market. So what I'm about to say today is not a defense of being small. It's an argument for the characteristic that is very commonly seen in smaller MSP organizations. It's also seen in larger organizations, but the larger the MSP organization, the more difficult this particular thing becomes to implement faithfully on an ongoing basis. That's what I want to talk about today. And I wouldn't be bringing it to your attention. It's not just a bait to get you to click and listen to this podcast. This particular thing is super important. When I say super important, that's doing it an injustice. It's more important than that. If you don't do this thing, you have a real risk of, for example, not passing your MSP Verify. If you don't do this thing, you might you likely would get an exception. You might get something worse in let's say a SOC audit. I'm not sure how the ISO community would treat it. Probably they would give it an exception and a remediation task if you didn't do this thing. Even if you're not doing any of those things, right? You're not certified. And you're not going through the process to become MSP verified, you should still be doing this thing. It's ultra important. I'm making an emphasis that this is important, folks. I mean it. It's really important. If you don't do this thing, you need to fix it fast. You need to start doing it today. Not tomorrow, today. So I'm going to walk you through what the thing is. I'm going to walk through how to do it easily, how to document it easily, and how to evidence it easily so that if you one day decide to go through MSP Verify, or maybe you've been going through MSP Verify for many, many years, and all of a sudden this is now becoming a hot button issue, whereas 10 years ago it wasn't. Well, that's actually very true, because 10 years ago, this particular item, although it was still an element of the MSP Verify standard, it was tested very differently than it is being tested today. And so enough teasing. I'm going to get right into it. And let's get started. What I am talking about is a function, is a process function related to the MSP risk assessment policy. Now, we've already gone over risk assessments for MSPs. I'm not going to do it again. I'll drop a link in the show notes so you guys can go back and listen to that episode or article. It may have been an article and it may have been an episode, but I don't know. I'll drop a link in there regardless so you can go back and listen and or read it at your convenience. But I will summarize for you what that topic dealt with, right? The risk assessment for the managed service provider organization deals with the internal assessment, analysis, identification, remediation, and general risk that associates itself to the managed service provider profession. All right, I am not talking about external risk, vulnerability scans, risk scans, pen testing, things that you do as a service for your customers. All right. Now, the customers, that's a whole separate topic, but the customers ought to be doing this same thing that I'm telling you, but I'm talking only about you, the MSP organization, today. All right. So risk assessments for the MSP organization ought to have a handful of components. I think I itemized them in the other episode, but I'll try to do it again today. You have to have a risk assessment policy, right? Doesn't have to be a dictionary, size volume. It could be a page, but it has to be detailed enough that it outlines what your MSP organization does to analyze and assess risk. Number two, it is not just technical, all right? I am not solely talking about vulnerability scans or pen testing scans. It could very well include that. It might be a good idea to include those types of technical assessments in your formal MSP risk assessment policy. By the way, in case anyone says, well, what do you mean policy? I get what a risk assessment is. What's a risk assessment policy? The policy is the document, is the digital or the printed out document that actually has on it the words that say what your process or the policy, what your practice is for performing a risk assessment on your MSP organization. That's what the policy is. If I had one, it would say Charlie's MSP assesses MSP risk in the following way. We perform a quarterly vulnerability scan. We have an annual external pen test performed on the organization. We perform vendor due diligence for every new vendor that we decide to do business with, and we perform a perfunctory vendor risk analysis on every vendor we have on an annual basis at the minimum. We perform a technical review of every employee account which leaves the company to make sure that Active Directory and other types of network system access has been properly turned off for that departed user, and so on and so on and so on. It's a document that just kind of summarizes what you are doing to identify, evaluate, and deal with risk. If you think that you don't have any risk and therefore don't need to have this type of thing, you should probably find something else to do other than managed services. I'll leave it at that. Back to the risk assessment. All right, so it needs to be documented in that policy. It needs to have both technical and non-technical elements, right? You heard me just recount some technical things like vulnerability scans, pen testing, Active Directories, reviews, vendor risk assessment. But it could and ought to include non-technical risk evaluation as well. Maybe that would be financial. Maybe that would be an analysis of the types of customers that you have exposure to, maybe broken down by customer size, maybe broken down by revenue size per customer, maybe broken down by the service vertical, their market vertical that those customers occupy, right? To avoid a 2009 repeat where you had MSPs, or better example would be the pandemic in 2020, right? MSPs who had a ton of exposure in the hospitality sector were unusually at risk in March of 2020 when the pandemic hit, relative to other MSPs who, let's say, had a more evenly distributed customer base. Right? So that's a great example of a non-technical business risk assessment evaluation methodology. And there are other things, right? So I'm not giving you an exhaustive list here, folks. I'm trying to give you representative examples of things that might reasonably show up in a risk assessment. Each of you is going to have a different, you know, kind of policy, and that's fine. If you're looking for a template, you know, we've got them, you know, as part of the MSP Verify program. We've also got risk assessment templates and matrices. Is that the right word? Matrices. That will help you categorize vendors and categorize risk and assess it and score it and remediate it. But how fancy you get is up to you. But you ought to have it documented at least in the policy. And that brings me to my next thing, which is you need to have a reporting. I mentioned the documentation. You need the documentation on the policy, but you also need documentation about how you are reporting your risk assessment and to whom you are reporting. All right, what does that mean, you ask? Okay, you've got your risk assessment policy, right? Check. You're performing all the elements of your risk assessment policy throughout the year. Check. By the way, the policy ought to have frequency of some of these risk assessment analysis elements. If you're doing vulnerability scans on your internal network quarterly, write that down. Why is it important to write it down? Well, because when it comes to MSP Verify, we're going to ask you, well, it says here you do quarterly vulnerability scans, right? Where was your last quarter vulnerability scan? Prove it, right? Prove it is a common question you're going to hear from us. Prove that you're doing that thing that you say that you're doing. Well, what's a good way to prove that you've done a vulnerability scan? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you've got a vulnerability scan report from whatever vulnerability scan tool that you use. A lot of them have reporting mechanisms. Well, maybe get a dated vulnerability scan report. Maybe if you're an MSP like you say you are, and you have a ticketing system, maybe you put a recurring ticket in your system that says, "Hey, it's the start of the new quarter. It's time to run a vulnerability scan." And then the vulnerability scan ticket's generated. It gets assigned to the appropriate person who does the vulnerability scans. They perform the vulnerability scan. They upload the report from the vulnerability scan tool, and they attach it to the ticket. They mark the ticket closed, and voila, you now have evidence. You not only were reminded to perform that element of the risk assessment for your company, but you also documented that it was performed, and you documented evidence to show that it was performed and when. And you did it in a nice, elegant sequence that is just should be like breathing to you. You know, MSPs work in tickets all day long. I'm not telling you anything new that you don't know, but that little sequence is a really simple part of just how you, the body mechanics of an MSP organization in motion. That's what I just described. And that's how you start to integrate and to break down into the individual component pieces, the very important and very easy to miss if you don't have this stuff kind of set up to auto run, to be automated as much as possible. Now, everything can't be automated, but the reminders can be automated and the process documentation of how you do that thing. Evidence, proof, really critical. Back to reporting and documentation. As it pertains to the MSP internal risk assessment, it is a best practice in the MSP profession and it will help you pass the MSP Verify. I guarantee you this, that you should have documentation of all the different elements of your risk assessment being performed throughout the year at some point, at least once, but maybe it's multiple times. But, and I'll give you a couple of examples of how that could be, how that could be so. At least once a year, you ought to have some thing, some item. I'll describe momentarily what that thing or item might be that demonstrates or proves that the risk assessment was not just completed, it was performed, it was completed, but that the information, the results of the assessment were communicated to management. Okay, why is that important? It's important for the following reason. As a small organization, this gets back to the title of today's episode, right? Which is one of the benefits of being a small MSP. When you're a large MSP, you will likely have isolated departments. When I say isolated, meaning you have real departmental barriers. You'll have a technical barrier department. You'll have an IT team, is what I'm saying. You might have an internal IT team. You might have a service delivery team as a different segment of the IT team. Two totally different teams, both in IT. One's internal IT, one's external service delivery. You might have a finance team, an HR team. You might have a sales marketing team. You might have a corporate C-suite level group, right? All depending on how large, complex, sophisticated, matured, whatever your organization is. Now imagine that my process example that I just gave you guys is running smoothly, right? You're going throughout the year and you do the functions of your documented MSP risk assessment policy. Great, great, great. Everything's going along smoothly. No problem. Mind you, in my example, no problems. No problems whatsoever. How does management know what's going on? Under my example, management is a completely different team. They don't have access to the ticketing system, so they're not seeing those tickets as they're getting completed. They're not next to the person who does the vulnerability scans every quarter. They're not part of the team that does the review of Active Directory every time an employee leaves the company to make sure that their accounts are properly decommissioned. They're not part of the team that does the vendor due diligence for all new vendors that the company works with. Even if the C-suite is responsible for signing contracts, they're not going to be the ones that necessarily see the due diligence packet. So how are they aware, how are they, management, aware of all the great, important work the rest of the team is doing related to risk assessment? Well, I'll tell you, this was a live program, we have you call in and tell us, but maybe you're shouting it out in the car on your way to work, say, oh, I know what the answer is. You report it to management. Duh. You report your findings to management. Well, that's the answer. That's how management is made aware of the status of risk in the MSP organization. Well, you probably can guess what I'm going to say next. We'll prove it. You're sold. You're sold on the idea that management needs to have access to this information. Well, how did they get access to it? Well, maybe there's a standing risk meeting. Right? Maybe that risk meeting happens every quarter. Maybe that risk meeting happens once a year at the company retreat. Maybe that risk meeting happens biannually. I don't know. Whenever it happens, Maybe that is the meeting in which the information is transferred. Prove it. Well, how do I prove what was discussed in a meeting? Well, how about this? Maybe you grab the meeting invite that shows that the technical team representative, I'm assuming the whole team doesn't show up, maybe the technical team representative, maybe that's a director of managed services, maybe it's a CTO, I don't know, right? It's going to differ depending on the size and maturity and complexity of your organization. That representative, whoever it may be, participates in that meeting with the management team. And again, management in this case could be a variety of different things. Management could be a group of people. It could be the executive or the C-suite. It could be a department. If you're a large enough organization, you know, again, I'm not talking, some of you smaller MSPs will not necessarily understand this because this is not something that you guys have. But you, there are organizations of the size that I'm talking about where you would actually have a risk team. Not one person, multiple persons responsible in whole or in part with risk in the MSP organization. All right? Maybe that's a group of people. It could be a committee. It could be a department. It could be one person. It could be a VP of risk. It could be a CTO, a CIO, a CISO, a CSO, whatever. Whatever. It could be a multitude of different people, different titles. Whatever your organization structure, that communication from the technical, the risk assessment performing body communicates to management in some capacity. It has to be documented, and there should be a sign-off on it. One of the ways, again, is a meeting. It could be a risk meeting. Typically is how we see it when it's in a meeting. It's a risk meeting. It could be a report. It could be a management report, an internal-only management report titled MSP Organization, whatever the name is, Internal Risk Assessment Report for Q4 2022. Dear so-and-so, the following is a representation. The following is a report containing the results of our company's internal risk assessment following our whatever policy. Here are the following elements tested, analyzed, and reviewed for your approval and signature. And it could be a formalized report that you communicate to that person or department and someone actually signs it. That would be evidence. And, you know, that type of thing you might not want to, you know, attach to a ticket. I get that. But guess what? That document, that signed document ought to be kept, needs to be kept, because someone, if you're going through MSP Verify, you guessed it, we're going to ask you, hey, it says here that you do quarterly risk assessment analysis and review, all of which are reported up to the risk management team via a report. Guess what? We're going to need a signed copy of that last report, please. Just to prove that you did it so we can show it to the auditors. You see how handy that is? What's the business function of this? The business function of all this, you know, you might be thinking, well, this is so bureaucratic, man. This is stupid. This is just busy work. It's not busy work. It's how you communicate in certain sized organizations from a technical to a non-technical group, really critical information that is necessary for the operations of the MSP. It does no good for a low-level or intermediate-level technician performing different elements of this risk assessment to be the sole person possessing that data. You might as well not even do it at all. Management needs to be aware of it. Management needs to be told. If management decides not to do anything, guess what? When a really bad thing happens and there is evidence that, you know, the risk assessment team did their job and they told the CEO, and the CEO was said, well, I didn't know this. Well, you signed the report that said that you got this information. How come you didn't do anything about it, right? Guys, we're way past the days of Enron. We're way past the days of MCI. We're way past the days where you can just say, well, I didn't know. Nah, that's BS. You have no excuse to say, I didn't know. If you run an MSP organization, you absolutely have no excuse to say, I didn't know. All right? That's what I'm talking about here, is to solve the I don't know problem. Now, in a small MSP organization, tying it all the way back to the beginning, right? One benefit of being a small MSP is it is a lot easier for you to communicate identified risk to management. In this case, it's likely going to be a business owner or the CEO or a president or someone in the C-suite. It's a lot easier in a smaller organization to do this, just because the organization size lends itself more easily, more nicely to doing this effectively. There's less bureaucracy in the transfer of information. Now, everything I said before stands true even for a small MSP. You still need to have that risk performed, that risk assessment performed, and you still need to document it, and you still need to communicate it, right? Nothing changes. All I'm saying is that in the smaller MSP organization, it's going to be a lot easier. Now, I'm going to say in MSP organizations of 50 people or less, the ease of doing what I just said should be fairly simplistic, however you decide to do it. I think a meeting is really simple. If you don't want to go through the hassle of an actual report, have a meeting agenda that says, hey, we're going to discuss the results of our fourth quarter risk assessment review, and we're going to discuss it with the CEO. The CEO is present. You grab a copy of the meeting invite, and that, you know, that might be a good start to an evidence of such a meeting taking place. If you want to have it in an email, I think that would probably be a little bit better, because an email you can track. An email is actually sent. You know, an invite is a little bit. An invite doesn't necessarily show that it was that the event actually happened. All right, that it was intended to happen. So maybe an email would be better. If you want to do it in a short form report, I think that that's fine too. Document it, have it someplace where the CEO or whoever the person is can say, yes, in fourth quarter, I did receive my team's internal risk assessment evaluation. I acknowledge that I received it, and I am looking at it, and I'm able to act on it. That is ultimately what we're getting at here, folks. The ability to, and I'm not talking about just remaining in compliance, because all these things, this is compliance 101. This is MSP compliance 101. You need this to be, you know, to go through the MSP verify. You need this for a SOC 2. I'm pretty sure you need it for an ISO. You probably need it for a CMMC as well, but that's a little bit less clear. You need these things. If you run an MSP organization, you especially need this. If you don't care about compliance, fine. You still need to do this thing on an ongoing basis to be a best practices MSP. Now, if you don't care about that, well, again, there's probably a better profession out there for you than managed services. But if you're going to call yourself an MSP, this is part of your responsibility. And it shouldn't have to take a lot of time, resources, or effort. It it can be delegated to the technical elements of your team for them to do some of this work. Just do it in whatever way you find easiest. If you think that a ticket is a good place to do it, then do it. Get it done. Now, for those intermediate or larger sized MSP organizations, I'm talking to you now. You already know this is important. You already do this on an ongoing basis, and you probably have for a while. But where you probably find it really challenging is in the documentation, communication up to management. Because depending on the size of the organization, I know really large MSPs who don't have risk departments, who don't have compliance, they don't even have compliance teams, they don't even have a compliance officer. Right? That's where you have to be really careful, because without that compliance team or officer, you now have to bridge that gap in some other way. You have to have a technical person or team complete the risk assessment and then transmit, document, and evidence that that communication took place and that it went to the appropriate person. Again, it's not going to be a compliance person in this example I'm giving you now, but maybe it's going to the VP of Managed Services. Maybe it's going to the CTO, if you have one. Maybe it's going to the president of the company. I don't know. But absent that compliance officer or department in your MSP organization, you don't have an excuse not to do it and to do it properly. And that's where it actually becomes a thing that the larger you are, the more difficult it can be to perform this internal risk assessment function thoroughly. Document it, evidence it, all that. And do it without a level of discomfort that it's not, that something is missing. Right, because you're large enough that you're not going to be able to wash every minute component. You're going to have to rely on the process working, and you're going to have to rely on the process working where there's no single person responsible for it. And that's where, in a smaller MSP organization, they can figure this stuff out and watch it more effectively than the larger MSP can. But regardless of your size, folks, regardless of your MSP organization size, please do yourself and do me a favor and do your customers a favor. Take these elements, break them down. If you have questions about it, feel free to contact me. Happy to spend some time with you guys and walk you through, you know, some simplistic ways to get this done. But get it done. Evidence it. Make sure that you document what you're doing so that you can prove it ultimately. And it should make you sleep better at night, knowing that you've done a proper, thorough risk assessment and that the information that's important in that assessment gets to the people that need to hear it. Trust me, you'll sleep better at night.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.